Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
If you missed the beginning talk about being handled, you got to hear it because it's talking about the handling of canine dogs when officers, any human being at all that's handling a dog, but say a police officer handles a canine dog, there's a process in how that dog gets under their handling. But then when they switch to a new officer, there's processes of how to be handled. And they go through these steps and you can find out more about it, the VFN Torch. But when that dog is being transferred and handled and transferred under new leadership, a new master, then these handlers would trade off and there's a process. And if they do it right, the dog's loyal to the next master.
Mm-hmm.
And America's being handled right now. I mean, it is, we are being, we are you know, being frisked. You know, we are being handled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you don't understand it, you can be very frustrated thinking about this whole thing logically. You could think like, that doesn't make sense.
Mm.
That doesn't make sense. That's not right. That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
But after about 3 or 4 years, you know, you start going like, it doesn't make any difference what really is. It makes makes a difference to realize who we are and what's going on right now. We're being handled. Something's going on. Why are we being handled over to something?
Mm-hmm.
Why is God handing us over to something? Can we stop this? And you think about it. If God was unmerciful, and he's not, he's full of mercy, and he had no grace, and he's full of grace for us, and all he wants us to do is just go, you're God, I'm not, I'm sorry, I'm following you, forgive me, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against others. Dear God, forgive me. I'm going to be your disciple and follow you. Then this handling will stop. The storm will stop and these things will stop. But if he just wanted us just to, if he was just going to just dump us off into something, why would there be this long process of hand? I mean, it gives us a chance to realize to go, hey, I'm being handled.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start pondering, now why are people lying right now? Why is the leadership blind? Why do they? Why are they going against God? Why are all these things that God said don't do, that the very ones that in these places of leadership used to agree with God, they're saying like, go do it.
What?
We're being handled. This is what it's all about, right? Mm. Then you start thinking, I'm in sin. That's how it works. I've sinned. And this is really, that's why, I mean, think about it. If not, he just would dump us right off into this thing. But this whole, I mean, I know that I've been prophesying for a long time, and now we're coming to this thing. It's like, this didn't just start yesterday. And here we are getting close to it, but there's still this mercy window of us just to go, they're not crazy. I am.
Hmm.
They're not. It's not their darkness. It's my darkness. It's not their sin. It's my sin. Yes, this storm is being fastened against me. God even said, when I send this plague and locusts and this stuff, if you turn to me, I'll stop all this stuff and I'll forgive you. And you just, and all of a sudden we're able to go, that's what that, because you think about, you know, people that are very religious, like, let them have it, God. But if you understand we are them, like Rick Joyner in his book, I don't remember which book it was, maybe it was The Final Quest. No, it was The Call. When the prophecy and the three armies, and the first army was a mess, and the second army was somewhat better, and the third army was mm-hmm. ideal. And so Jesus asks him in this vision, what do you want to do with the first army? He's like, just knock them off. Just, I can't, I'm just disappointed in them.
Right? Right.
And then of course, Jesus says to Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, he goes, this is you. This is the church. You know, we haven't even entered into the second layer yet at that point when it was written. And then the third army. And so, you know, this is our issues. And, so this time is like a mercy window, but we have to understand, we have to begin to identify what do these handlers look like? I guess that would be the question. What do the handlers look like? And you have to understand, it's not a handler that's outside of us that really determines us. It's the handlers that have come inside. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about it because Jude, which means Jew, that this book Jude, begins to describe the handlers, what the handlers look like. And he talks about how they slipped in amongst us. And then he gives us some identifying characteristics. In other words, this is who's really handling us. It's not the ones that don't even know God. It's the ones that say they do know God, but they're lying. It's the ones that say they do follow Jesus, but they don't. It's the ones that say they are with you and they're totally against you. But we're going to find out, because Jude talks about the characteristics of these ones who slipped in, because we got to begin to contend with the faith, contend for the faith. But we cannot contend for a faith, first of all, we're not in. Secondly, we cannot be unequally yoked with people who are not in the faith. We have to identify those who are handlers, who are trying to be used by the adversary. And there's this one book coming out. I can't tell you the name of it right now. The Cauldron, The Devil's Cauldron. And this guy was, he worshiped Lucifer. But one of his jobs was he would slip in amongst the church, and he would, turn it against itself. And he was consciously doing this. He would consciously go in there and do this. Well, I mean, there's plenty of people doing that. They aren't aware of it. They're like Peter, when Peter said, don't go to Jerusalem, and Peter was shocked that Lucifer used him at that moment. That's how most things are happening, but it's still happening. But we have to understand that there's those that have slipped in amongst us, and everybody believes. If anybody says, I'm a Christian, it's amazing. Like, oh, they're a Christian, as long as you can give people an address of where you go to church, even though you may not even go there, I'm on the roll somewhere.
Somewhere.
And it's like, everybody just believes it. When we're warned that there's going to be people, handlers, that slip in amongst us, and we got to be able to identify them so we can actually walk in the faith and contend for the faith together with those who actually want the faith. We're going to look at some characteristics so that we can contend for the faith. We're in a time right now in America, in the world, but America, the key now is for us to contend for our faith, not contend for any political party, contend for your way or your stuff, your idea. We need to contend for our faith. That's what's at risk here, is our faith. And Jude talks about it. Jude, it's only one chapter, but verse 3 says, he writes to him, he says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt compelled." That's what I feel. I feel compelled to talk to you about this. "I felt compelled to write and to urge you to contend for your faith." So at this particular time, they're actually saying, listen, you're going to have to contend. I mean, we got to be contenders. We cannot be cowards.
Pretenders.
We cannot be pretenders. I mean, we got to contend. First of all, we got to have faith. Then you can't contend for something that you don't have. Nobody contends for religion. If they do, they look a lot like what we saw in an earlier program with that forced marriage and all that. So it's a religious spirit. But if you contend for the faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, we got to begin to understand that's what he wants us, God wants us to do. And he says, I felt compelled to write to you, it's this book of Jude, and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. And this is what I want to talk about. He says, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. I mean, think about that. So our issue, when we're contending for the faith, their issue is not what's happening outside our gatherings. What's happening inside our gathering is our issue. God didn't call us to judge the world. He's going to judge the world. He called us to deal with ourselves.
That's right.
And he's saying, I'm writing to you. You're going to have to contend with the faith. The reason why you're going to have to contend with the faith, not what's outside of you, is what slipped in among you. We have a segment that you have, I don't know if you saw it or not, but you can see it on the VFN Torch, where there's atheists, self-professing atheists, over mega, quote, churches, unquote, who's saying they couldn't find another trade. It's like, you can't.
This is not a trade.
But how many people, really, that's the level of their faith. Yeah. I'm just being religious.
Yeah.
And he said, they slipped in amongst you. And so if we're going to contend for the faith, it's not somebody out there who don't want Jesus Christ. It's the one next to you who says they love Jesus, but they don't want anything to do with what his expectations of them.
So true.
And so he gives us some identifying characteristics, but Acts talks about that too. Paul talked about that in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. He says, listen, he says, keep watch over yourselves. In other words, us, ourselves together. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. So he's talking again about us, not the people who aren't the church, but he says us. He said, be shepherds of God's flock. Watch over them because he bought them with his blood. In other words, that's our responsibility to look over them. And then he says, I know. I mean, this is Paul who had a third heaven revelation. Just like Jude talks about when he's writing, I urge you. He says, I know. He says, I know that after I leave, so-and-so is going to rise up. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will, he said, will come in amongst you and will not spare the flock. In other words, it's going to happen. So you're going to have to keep watch over that. And we just need to know the attributes. What do these guys look like? He says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw disciples after them. So be on your guard and remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day with tears, that this is a reality, that what Jude was talking about is a reality. And so this is serious business because you have somebody standing by somebody who they both call themselves Christians, and one person really believes that this other person is a Christian, and the person who's not a Christian doesn't really care. They're very religious, or they've convinced themselves they are, or they're deceived, but they're not following God at all, haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And they're both standing by side by side, standing, contending for the faith. When the one who loves God's going, you know, exactly what God says in the word, and they stand up, and the person beside them goes, you know, did God really say that? I mean, is that how it really has to be? Does marriage really have to be that way? Did he say, really don't eat from this tree? Did he say, you know, that you really can't, you know? And it's like, you're distorting the truth here. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, I thought we were together. Or you might say, like Eve, we go, yeah, we've been walking together for quite some time, Bob. And let's get a copy, you know, coffee and talk about that. You know, I want to talk about that. Yeah, I just want to hear all your unbelief. Just pour it into my ears and just, you got to contend with your faith. And so he begins to explain here more in the book of Jude, chapter 4. He says, they are ungodly people, these ones who slipped in. They're ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In other words, that there's, you know, Jesus is holy and he is a way, but there's a lot of other ways to be able to get to God. And, and they pervert, in other words, yes, there's grace. I mean, God didn't have grace. I couldn't be here. I couldn't be here. Every day he has given me a grace to be able to walk on, and it's only because of his undeserved favor I'm walking. But it's not a license for me to rebel against him and just give myself over to sin. And it says these particular individuals, this is an attribute of them, one of the characteristics of those who slipped in, who Paul warned for 3 years with tears, who we have to contend for our faith from people that are amongst us. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, but you're like, oh my goodness, are you a weed? You know what I'm saying? You're like, you're in the midst of this thing and you're trying to take us down. You know, and it's amazing how religious these ones who slipped in are, that they can throw you off when you're just trying to walk with God. And they're like this deep religion thing going on. It's like, they do know more scripture, but they sure are mean, you know? And so it's a license for immorality. So they actually say, you know what? Let's just go have a meeting. Let's have a board meeting. Let's have a denominational meeting. Let's get together and let's vote on whether the fact that we want to believe that anymore. If you know, the church is kind of behind the times, and we got to catch up with culture, and people who don't read the Bible don't realize that Jesus, the word of God says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, do not be conformed to culture.
All right.
And so they go, okay, let's have a meeting. And they go, oh man, you know, yeah, our church used to believe that way, but we voted. So this is kind of what, it's like, you can't do that. You're not contending for the faith. You have to say, you know, whatever that was, it's not the church. That's the ones who slipped in amongst the church. Then he goes on and talks more about him in verse 5. He says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who didn't believe. I mean, he's telling this in the New Testament. He's going, listen, I want to remind you, there's a big crowd of folks that comes along. You know, why does this road that leads this way? But there's going to be a point in time, it's going to get really narrow. Because some people are not believers, they're not going to go that way. And if you're thinking because everybody calls themselves a Christian that they are, and you're opening yourself up and making yourself vulnerable, and your faith vulnerable, and your family vulnerable, and your marriage vulnerable, and your business and your church vulnerable to these folks, that you're not going to, you could be taken down. Mm-hmm. You're not watching and praying, and you could be taken down. You have to be aware. You know a person by their fruit. I mean, if you love God, you love God, and it's obvious. Mm-hmm. It's not because you say you love God, it's because you do. So God delivered them all, but he did not let them all come out. He destroyed the unbeliever in the wilderness. So he's reminding there's people that walk amongst you that are not going to be in eternity with you in heaven. And then he goes on to verse 6, he says, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwellings, their proper places, these have been kept in darkness, bound for everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. He's still going, listen, you know, even the angels who didn't understand this, they're in chains. Mm. Okay. There were ones that got delivered, who cried out because they were in bondage in Egypt. Everybody got delivered outside of Egypt in the bondage, but everybody didn't say, I want to follow God. They got the benefits of as if everybody was. But it come to the end, God says, you know, you're not dressed in the gown of salvation. You're not part of us. And boom, went. And then he goes on again and he says, and in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves over or up to sexual immorality and perversion. This is so important because it's not that we sin. We all sin and fall short. But what they did was they gave themselves up to it. In other words, they just said, I'm giving it. This is it. You know, whatever. Great rebellion, great sexual sins. Like this is just who I am. And they just gave themselves over to it. So it's not the fact that, you know, and in this society today, in the overture of all this, you know, temptations and stuff, everybody's getting bombarded like Sodom and Gomorrah imagery and all these things are going on. But that's good that you're fighting and that you're seeking repentance and you're turning from it and you're seeking God for direction. That's not somebody who's given themselves over to it. That's somebody that just said, this is it. This is who I am. This is where we're going to go. And in that way, so he says, in the same way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. He says, and they serve as an example. They serve as an example of those who will suffer punishment and eternal life. In other words, we saw the hell and the fiery brimstone like Jonathan just saw in a dream just this week. Mm. You know, that he saw these fiery balls coming just like the balls of fire that you read about in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but as Rick Joyner had said in Morningstar Ministries, that the whole world's about to go through hell.
That's right.
And the things that God's been sharing with us, you know, we're about to go through hell.
Yeah.
But it's always been that way in the context of, it's not for this life we live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's for the life beyond. The thing about it is when this whole world's going through hell, are we going to still be light? You know, first to go to bright, but if somebody's telling you that you know, all of a sudden there's going to be some sound and you're going to disappear, I mean, you're going to have to explain that to the woman who just got snatched out of the back of her car who was loyal to Jesus, that got forced to be a bride of this radical Islamic man in the Middle East, and say, well, how come she didn't get raptured away? And all of a sudden you, as 5% of the population and a smaller percentage of that, are talking about that you're not going to go through times of suffering.
Mm.
It's like you're better than the teacher, and Jesus is the teacher. He talks about the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, there are seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, and I don't know the time. Jesus don't even know the time or the hour, but I'm just saying you got to prepare for this. You got to brace yourself because things are happening, and we contend for the faith by those that are around us. Sometimes Jesus said this, don't suppose I came to bring peace, but a sword. Members of your own household, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your children, you know, that the devil's got a hold of, and they're coming trying to you have to contend with your faith even in your own household. But you can't just surrender your faith. You got to contend for it. We're talking about contending for the faith and what's taking place. We're being handled, but we're being handled from within.
Mm-hmm.
It's not outside. So we have to be able to identify what's taking place. And Jude talks about these characteristics. Paul talked about them. But in verse 8, he's talking about, in Jude, he says, in the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, talking about the ones that have infiltrated and slid in, that are not part of us, but yet they say they're part of us. In the same way, on their strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies. In other words, they say they have a dream, or they say they have a vision. You know, got this vision over this whole thing. And they have this vision about, you know, read the vision. And what it was, this might as well be, you know, a local hospital's vision about how to be able to make this thing like a business and expand it out or whatever. But in it, that when you get into it, it's ungodly. You fall into sin. It's like, when I got here, they called this a vision or a dream. But when I got here, I became more sinful. I became, and then I talked to people about my sin, and they go, well, me too. It's okay here. We voted on it. You know, so, and so when you find yourself in a gathering of folks and you're thinking, I used to not be this way. I used to not think this way. I used to not watch that, touch that, see that, go there. But now I feel myself doing it. And you shake yourself and you go to talk to other folks. And you think they don't, and you talk, they don't even have a, they're going like, what? What's wrong? You're thinking, wrong place. Wrong place for me, because if I stay here, I'm going to be lost. I'm going to be lost. And he starts talking about it. Says, in the same way, with their own visions and dreams, they pollute their own bodies. They reject authority. And this is a big one. This is a huge identifier. How do you respond to authority? They reject authority, you know, God's authority and what's happening and what he sets up. And they heap abuse on celestial beings. In other words, they just, you know, abusive towards angels and what they're saying. And, you know, that's my servant, you know, weird things people say. But he says, even Michael, when he was disputing about the devil, with the devil, about Moses's body, he did not himself dare to just slander. And he just said, the Lord rebukes you. We have to get our perspective right. When you see people saying, I, and, you know, I am God, or I am, you know, God Jr., and this is going to happen, and all these different things, you know, you got to watch out, because they have no power in themselves. It's God that has the power, and it's Christ in us, and we're submitted to God through the blood, directed by his Spirit. Anything else is in rebellion to God. And so you got to watch out for those things that are going on. But these are the ones that slipped in amongst us, and they say, you know what, we just have to be community organizers. We got to get involved in this thing. We got to make social justice the reality. It's like, where's God in all this? Where's God in all this? And he said, yet these people, they slander, which means the act of being offensive or saying false things or malicious things or dangerous things about someone's reputation. He says, these people, they slander whatever they don't even understand. And so you have people, you can talk to them for an hour, and they're talking, it seems, about what they're talking about. And they're just having all these opinions about it. And it's wrong what they're saying. It's not even wrong, meaning the fact is you can read the Bible, it doesn't say that. And they're just speaking with such apparent authority over it, and they're really slandering what God says. And he says, what they don't understand, this is how they talk. This is how you know. There's somebody's like, they're speaking like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, wait a minute, that's not what God says. He doesn't say that. So you can know, he's like, ah, okay. Okay, if I'm going to contend for the faith, this person's not going to be on my side. I mean, you'll say things like, come on, let's go do this thing, and they won't move, right? They won't move, like the picnic thing.
Yeah.
And he says, and the very things they do understand, this is the handling thing, the very things they do understand by instinct, in other words, you just know this, I mean, a child knows this, as irrational animals know things, will destroy them. In other words, they continue to do this thing, and it's like the end of this thing is going to be, you're going to be snatched and forced to be in a bride to this crew over here, you know? And they just continually, like unreasoning, irrational animals, doing this thing, acting like they know something. Next thing you know, you're being snatched into slavery. Your country's being taken over. You're having iftar dinners, you know, in your capital that has Judeo-Christian. And what happened in the context of all that? And he said, they'll destroy you. And so these very things by instinct, there's so many people right now who do not have any, they love God, you love God, but nobody's ever discipled you. I mean, you don't know exactly what to do, and you're looking for direction, and you're listening to people talking. You're thinking, if you preach one more message on grace, I'm going to scream. Look at my newspaper. Look what's going on. Something's happening inside of me. Like Pastor John Kilpatrick talks about, where's the sense of urgency? But inside you have this instinct that, you know, this is stupid. We're not going to make it. If we don't turn around. And that's a good thing. That's and he says, But these folks don't even have that. They ignore what you're feeling inside of you. They ignore, it's like, I'm going to stand in front of the car. It's going at 100 miles an hour, and I'm not going to get hit. Right. Your instinct's going, you're a stupid man, and you're going to get hit, but I will call rescue, you know, when you're flattened down on the road, right?
Right.
Flattened down, like roadkill. And then he responds to these guys, and he's talking about them. So we're contending for the faith. Don't look like you're contending. It's important because these people who slid in, they'll get you to focus on people outside the church, and they'll tell out the church gathering of people, and they'll get you to focus and say they're your problem, and you need to judge them. You need to deal with them. But what Paul was saying, what Jude was saying, and what Jesus even said, he said, even from your own number, you have to watch out for those who are walking and got delivered like the Jews got delivered out of Egypt, but not all of them were believers. Not all of them were into what God was doing. And God destroyed them. These are our examples, he said. So some of the other attributes, he says, listen, this is how God thinks about these guys. He says, woe to them. He says, they have taken the way of Cain. In other words, they rather kill a brother than to repent to a brother, to be opened up to a brother and be able to say, you know what? You know, I was jealous of you. I was jealous of you. And when I saw what happened with you, Abel and God, and what happened, I was just jealous. But instead, you rather just kill them with your mouth and just say these terrible, horrific things. And it's like, way of Cain, whoop, whoop, warning. And he says, and they rush to profit like Balaam. And so they're selling their gift. How many people are selling their gift today? Mm-hmm. What's the salary package, as Steve Hill would say? Right. We're not talking lettuce. He would say, you know, what's a salary package? It's like, your answer to if God is calling you is, you know, what is the Balaam package?
Hmm.
That's, you know.
How much? How much?
Everything. Cost you everything. Everything, he said, to be his disciple. And then he said, and these are attributes. So you have people, these people who slid in amongst us are the ones who are like killing their brother, like Cain. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They're walking around sad, downcast, miserable, and just killing folks. Secondly, they're looking for profit. How can I make money here? How can we make money here? Giving units, one man said, up in the Northwest. And they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So you have the crew that are the organizers, the ones we talked about in Alinsky and, you know, organizers of darkness. They try to organize God's people against God's leadership. We have those guys. Mm-hmm. And they think, hey, if I get enough people going with me, we can get our way here and we can say it's God. And besides, it is God because I got a word on the backside of a flyer that came blew past my... Anyway, so... And he says, these people are blemishes at the love feast. In other words, yeah, they show up and they eat without qualms. They have no problems. Like, they're living this life totally opposite of what God says, not a believer in God, and showing up like they are. Eating without a slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed themselves. In other words, just like this atheist pastor that was reported on ABC News. I mean, he was like, I'm here because I don't have a job, but I'm an atheist. I don't believe that there is a God, but I am telling these people about a God I don't believe. But he was feeding himself. I mean, he did have a little black line across his, you can see this on the VFN torch. It's a true story. And so it was the occupation, face melting. He says, these people, he says, they're like clouds without rain. They're blown along by the wind. They're like autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves on the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars from whom the blackest of darkness, think about this, for whom the blackest of darkness has been reserved forever. In other words, you can just relax and know that God will deal with these folks. But secondly, you have to know, you cannot be in unity with somebody who's serving darkness. I mean, even though they're wearing a religious attire, you cannot be in unity with that. Because how can he says if a nation is divided and if a home is divided, Jesus said, it won't stand. If you're walking with somebody who is divided from the ways of God, in other words, this is their description, you can't successfully contend for the faith. It's going to fail. It's not going to succeed. So it's better to find three people who are followers and lovers of God and five stones and defeat the enemy than it is to have 1,000 people who is filled with these, you know, twice uprooted, dead, whatevers, you know, in the context of it. And if you're going to fight, you know, I'm talking about spiritually, if you're going to fight It's easier to fight with somebody who's on your side instead of going home every night and fighting with somebody in your own household, somebody in your own church gathering, somebody at your own office. You shouldn't have hired that person. You knew, even though they professed one thing, they did another. It's time to begin to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to walk in agreement with those who are walking in agreement with God, because I got to contend for this faith. And that's what we have to do in America right now. We're being handled. The handling is for this, like they did to the bride in the earlier program. They want us to renounce our faith. They want us just to let go of our faith. That's all they want. Just let go of the faith. Everything's going to be fine as long as you deny Jesus Christ. That's it. And it's like, we can't do that. We're going to have to contend for the faith. And we're going to wrap this up and get back from this break. But this is what's really going on. And so we're being handled by these insiders who are, and by the way, it's not wrong for you to identify an insider who's being controlled by Lucifer. It's not wrong. That's not negative. That's positive. It's positive for you to say, you know, do what they say, but don't do what they do. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right.
Because if they're gonna take you down and cause you to lose your fight of faith, I mean, you got to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. We're talking about contending for the faith, and what's really, if we think about what's really taking place right now in America, in the world, and what we've been really speaking about over quite some time is our faith is being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have faith in? Do we have faith in Jesus Christ? Do we have faith that he can keep us? Do we have faith that even if we get thrown in the furnace and don't get delivered from the furnace, that he'll still deliver us to eternal life, that we will live with him forever? But he can't deliver us from the... Do we have faith in God? I mean, it's being challenged. It's our faith that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And when we talk about defending the faith, it's so easy. I mean, you just see people today, they're going like, we got to change the world. We got to change the world. And it's like, but did you look at us?
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at our marriages? Did you look at our families?
Right.
Did you look at what's being preached from the pulpits around us? But why? How can we go out there and say the world's wrong? And we didn't even look amongst us. We had some people that slipped in amongst us.
Oh.
That's against God and his ways. And we're not saying anything about that, but we're going out to a world that God, you know, Paul said, don't judge the world. God will judge the world. He says, it's you, yourselves.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, we got to check ourselves to see if we're in the faith, that we're contending for the faith. And so he says, Paul said, I warned you for three years, yeah, day and night with tears. The enemy is going to be from within. It's going to be people who say they're followers of Jesus Christ, who say they heard from God, who say they got a vision from God, who say all these different things, but they're not. They're of the devil. And there's people that are of God, and they are hearing the vision. They are hearing clearly, but there's people who prostitute those words, those vocabulary, and those experiences, and use them for their own gain. I mean, they hunt up, they're like Googling prophetic words and claiming them as their own and repeating them as if they were theirs.
All right.
Like, that was on the Elijah list. Anyway, so, and he goes on, he says, these people, the last parts of these attributes here in June, he's talking about these ones who are from within. He says, these people are grumblers and fault finders. I mean, think about them. They're strifeful. Mm. They're stirring up strife inside the body, the gathering. It's like, there's never, oh my goodness, so-and-so is going to be here, right? And it's like, somebody needs to speak truth. I mean, I don't want to be anywhere anymore that I can't openly say what God says in a church gathering. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I can't be around people who say they're believers that I can't just say what Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's going to be restricted in the gathering I'm in, I'm not going to be in that gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are over, Jay-Z, right?
Oh, yes.
Right. Those are over.
Oh, yes.
You know, if it gets your feelings hurt, hopefully it'll get you gone or get you saved. Because
one
if somebody
two.
Says what God says and you get offended, you got to find out, why am I offended with God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got to just be able to, you know, you got to be able to do it. We got to stay free. We got to stay free. And so then, you know, these last parts of these attributes, they follow their own evil desires. I mean, you think about all those people that's like, hey, I got the next biggest thing. This thing's going. It's like, you're like the wind. I mean, there's something always you're doing, something else. You know, it's just amazing what's happening. And they boast about themselves. Did I ever tell you about my, you know, we were like, Pat and I were having lunch somewhere, and we saw someone we hadn't seen in quite some time. And we're talking about, have you heard the world could be ending any moment? I mean, did you see what's happening in Israel? And there's different things like this. And they come out and go, you know, I got a big house. You got nice clothes.
Wow.
And I live in a nice neighborhood. And we're like, yep. Okay. I'm
all right.
Go, right. Okay. All right. All right. Mm. Okay. Hmm. And you need to know that's not right. But still, that happens. Because this person would tell you today that they're a follower of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, and they flatter other people for their own advantage. And flattery is lying to you to get what they want. And it's amazing. It's a lie. And it's a lie that's got flowers with it. It's still a lie. And it's for gain. Maybe it's gain by, you know, you accept them, or maybe they get money from you. I mean, how many ministers today that you know, if you spoke clear truth, that you would lose so-and-so in your gathering? You know, you may lose your job, you know? But so you actually back off what you should have said, that you didn't even have an option to back off. Because you and God revealed that to you in your study. You read it in the Word of God. It's in context. And you should have said it. But all of a sudden, the devil comes and reminds you of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you edited what God said. And then you flattered everybody there. Because you want so-and-so to stay in your gathering. You did that for your own advantage. You have to be willing every day to preach like it's the last time you'll ever speak. To understand that you might not have tomorrow to ever say what you got to say, so you got to get it all out. You want to make sure that, you know, if you were to drop dead at that one moment, if they were to fire you and say you can't minister here anymore, or they would kick you out of town and stone you like they did Paul, that you would have known, I did everything I can do in that town, in that city, in that relationship, in that gathering, because you're going to face God and answer for it. But if you adjust your message so you can keep your job, you're one of the blemishes at the love feast. You need to repent. And you need to say, you know what, God? I'm ready. And you need to get rightly related with somebody who's been walking that way already, because you're going to need, you may come over the wrong way in religious, instead of because you're, you know, overreacting to something. You got to get used to speaking the truth in love, but it's going to land toughly with people, even though you're doing your best to try to present it to bring people into that particular truth. But if you just all by yourself and you've never adjusted, you never stopped adjusting your message, and all you did was preach flattery from your pulpit, I'm telling you now, I mean, God, you know, spoke to me. He said, this particular thing is going to be going on. And people would come to my office door, and ministers would come, and they would repent for what I'm telling you about. And I had a pastor come to my office door with his podium. With his podium that he had preached these things from for years. And he said, you know, and whatever, you know, he said, and he said, and I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want it, Lord. And I said, well, if you give it to me, this is what we're going to do with it. He goes, let it have. And he stood right by that thing. And he said, listen, you know, adjusting your message and making people feel good, and it's paraphrasing, does not change people. You got to preach truth. But the thing about when you preach truth, you find out how many people really want the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out what the disciples found out when they were freaking out when Jesus preached truth, I think in John chapter 6. And then everybody left. And there was only 12 there. And they're thinking, you cannot keep preaching messages like this. Do you know how long it took us to get this crowd here? And then Jesus says, what about you guys? Uh-huh. Are you all going to hang around here? And Peter said, where else can I go? You have the keys to eternal life. That's the commitment that we have. This whole thing is about us contending for the faith, not religion, but for faith. And we were known by our love for God and our love for each other and our desire to lead other people to a loving relationship with God. This is what it's about. We got to begin to identify. Everybody that calls himself a Christian is not going to fight on your side and is not on God's side. You know them by their fruit, he said. You know them by their fruit. It's time for us to stand up and quit being handled by the adversary. Repent and say, you know, God, here I am. I am going to contend for the faith. There's something compelling me, just like Jude wrote about. He said, I'm compelled now to write to you about this. I was going to write to you about this other thing, but I don't write to you about this. I am compelled to tell you it's time to defend your faith. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com.
VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.